Welcome to In My Own Words, where we stand on our opinions the way Kobe Bryant's legacy stood for hard work, a relentless effort, and most importantly, family. This episode is dedicated to Kobe Bryant, and let's start the show. All right, welcome back to In My Own Words. I have to start this episode on a bit of a somber note because as you all heard, there was a helicopter crash in Calabasas on Sunday, and that led to the loss of nine beautiful souls, including the lives of Kobe Bryant and his daughter, Gianna Gigi Bryant. There are so many Kobe Bryant stories that I could tell, so many great memories. I will tell you that when I first heard about Kobe Bryant, it wasn't a good thing for me. And I'm going to just keep it all the way real. I'm going to keep it all the way funky. It wasn't a good thing for me. See, there was a short period of time where my parents and myself and my little sister, we moved into my grandmother's house, right? We were in that time between, you know, our apartment got burned down and we were moving into a house. The house wasn't ready yet. Long story. But we moved in there, and in that, the room that I stayed in with my uncle, there was a poster of this guy going up. And I remember asking my uncle who that was, and he told me it was Magic Johnson. And he had the yellow, the gold jersey on with the purple Lakers across it. And that's my first memory of a professional basketball player. And so probably more so in an effort to be like my uncle, I said, wow, okay, the Lakers is the team. It's the only professional basketball team I knew. I didn't even know Indiana, the place I'm from, the place I live currently, had a basketball team. The only thing I knew was the Lakers. And so I remember looking at the Lakers, and at that time, it was prior to Kobe being there, watching Laker games, I was watching Nick Van Axel, and I was watching Eddie Jones, and I was watching Vlade Divac. And I remember hearing that the Lakers were trading Vlade Divac and being upset. I love the way Vlade passed from the post position. I love just his style and his flair that he brought to the game. This big guy passing like a guard and, you know, nice little post moves. And I had no idea who Kobe was. I didn't hear about him in high school. I didn't hear the hype. I remember hearing that they were getting rid of him, and this kid, Kobe Bryant, was coming in. But I also remember, you know, Shaq was coming as well. And so the first jersey I ever got was a Nick Van Axel jersey. And I remember eventually falling in love with Kobe, falling in love with his game, his tenacity, his mentality, the way that he approached the game, his competitive nature, so much so that I got rid of my Nick Van Axel jersey and I put on the 8. I had the Kobe jersey. I had the Adidas that looked like moon boots. I had those. I rocked those. They were all silver. Some of the ugliest shoes. I had that. I would take magazines and cut out pictures of Kobe and just put them on my wall in my room as a kid. And I would try to be relentless about things and be obsessive about things the way that Kobe was. That mentality I really identify with, to be ridiculously competitive, even to this day. Contest on who can drink a bottle of water the fastest. My competitive edge is so crazy to this day that I'm not allowed to play the games at the church picnic when we go. My wife won't allow it. Like, she's had enough of it. It was one year I played dodgeball and shut the whole church picnic down. Like, I was talking trash, throwing balls at people's kids. My competitive nature is so crazy. I take it way too far. And a lot of that can be contributed to my uncles. I have to say that they drove me to be crazy competitive, but also watching people like the Michael Jordans of the world and, of course, Kobe Bryant, the relentless, just I'm going to keep coming at you and I'm going to keep coming at you. And it doesn't matter if I'm winning or losing. I'm going to keep coming at you until you quit, until you say stop. And so rest in peace to Kobe. Rest in peace to Gianna. I can't imagine, you know, what the families are feeling, to the Atabelli family, all the other families that were impacted and on board the helicopter and just any way, shape, or form impacted by this loss. I just want to say that I'm praying for you guys. I'm thinking about you guys. I was with my daughter, my oldest daughter, who I wanted to name after Kobe's daughter, Gianna. But my daughter was born a couple of hours before his, and so I couldn't. And it wasn't like the internet is today. This is in 2006. My daughter was born April 30th, and we had to pick a name, of course. And Kobe, they weren't releasing the name of what they were going to name their daughter. And we chose Tiana, and they chose Gianna. Gianna was born May 1st, 2006. Tiana was born April 30th, 2006. And it's just funny how you try to identify, you know, with your heroes. I remember thinking, man, me and Kobe are having a baby at the same time. And like, this is great. Like somehow in my mind, and I wasn't even playing basketball at the time. Like I was out of high school. I didn't play basketball in college. Like I was never going to play like organized basketball again in that manner. So it wasn't even about basketball, but I wanted a way to identify with that type of life and mentality and the level of success he was able to achieve because of it. And, yeah, it's just, I could talk about it forever. I won't, but I had to start the podcast off with just saying, yeah, there's really nothing to say other than, I'm praying for everyone that was impacted. And you don't have to know someone personally or ever meet them or talk to them or have an interaction with them face to face to be impacted by them. You identify with people's stories. And those stories mean a lot to you, and those stories resonate with you, and you find yourself in those stories. You remember when, you remember where you were when they did these amazing and great things. You know, I remember being upset that Phil didn't let Kobe go back in the game after scoring 62 or whatever it was in three quarters, I believe, against the Mavericks. I remember being sitting on the couch. It's the last Kobe story I'll tell. Sitting on the couch watching Kobe play the Raptors the night in January, I believe, when he scored 81. And I remember sitting there, and at halftime, he had like 25, 26 points, and he had gone on a crazy streak that year. So I'm thinking, man, this is going to be another great Kobe game. I don't know if we're going to win, because I'm a Lakers fan first. I don't know if we're going to win, but Kobe's going to have a great game. He'll probably score 45, 50. And during halftime, I fell asleep. I fell asleep and missed the second half when Kobe goes off and scores 55 points and ends up with 81 points. I missed it because I was asleep. It's, you know, the West Coast time. I'm in Indiana, so, you know, it's 10 o'clock here, but it's only 7 o'clock there, whatever. And I remember waking up and seeing, like, the Sports Center and seeing the ticker. I'm like, he scored what? And having to go back and watch the entire replay of the game. I think I watched it on ESPN Classics, by the way. Anyway, doesn't matter. You don't have to know someone personally for them to have an impact on you. A lot of our celebrities, entertainers, you know, politicians, public speakers, there's a lot of people that can have an impact on your life without you knowing them personally. And so the pain that you felt or that you see other people feel when it comes to Kobe, trust me, it's real. I was with my daughters and I was crying and trying to drive at the same time. And luckily, we arrived at the drive-thru to get their food. And I was able to like sit there for a minute and just gather myself to make sure that we made it home. Because making it home is something that we often take for granted. So rest in peace. My condolences to the family. And that's it, man. Kobe. All right, welcome back to the In My Own Words show. there was a commercial that Kobe did where he hit a game-winning shot, and the crowd was booing him, and he puts his hand up to his ear like this. Matter of fact, I'll insert the clip.
I've been hating you.
So in honor of that commercial, we're going to do another round of hate mail. Now, if you don't know, hate mail is a segment of the show where I go through and I read some of I think it's the funniest social media comments that I get. When I started putting out content, and it's a rule that I still live by, I want to respond to everybody and say something at least once. Sometimes the conversation gets a little hairy, gets a little crazy, and I don't want to be arguing with fools because, you know, you argue with few fools, if I can speak, I'm talking like a fool. If you argue with fools, sometimes from a distance, it's hard to tell who's who. I don't want to keep going back and forth, but I'll at least try to engage in dialogue because, you know, I record this to start a conversation. And so I just think it's hilarious when it backfires, when all I get is hate. People talk about my weight. People talk about my subscriber count. People talk about my hair or lack thereof. I love getting that comment. That's why you're bald. Oh, wow, I am? I didn't know I was bald. No one told me I knew I was bald before you got here. What are you talking about? But anyway, I'm going to read some comments, a little bit of hate mail coming in. Let's see what we have. This is from Stuart Elmore. It was a video that I posted about 3 months ago. He says, yeah, you all the way cancel. Out of here. The you know, had to bleep that out. Listen, Stuart, baby, let me talk to you. How do you cancel somebody? We need to have this conversation. Like, how can you cancel someone? You can't cancel me, Stuart. I don't work for a network. The show comes out for free on YouTube and Facebook. You can't cancel me. And cancel me, why? Because you don't agree with me? Listen, we have to stop being so quick to try to cancel someone because we don't agree with something that they said. Here's the number one thing. Number one, to quote the great philosopher Dave Chappelle, you clicked on my face. The only way you saw this video is that you clicked on my face. Even if someone shared it on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram and it came across your feed, guess what? Those videos don't just automatically start playing out loud unless you click on it and make the video play out loud. So you opted in to hear my opinion. Now, if you don't like my opinion, you're entitled to that. I don't think you should be canceled because you don't like my opinion. You should be able to disagree with me and let me know that you disagree with me. But canceling me, first of all, you can't do that. Second of all, why cancel me because we don't agree? What you should instead do is tell me why you disagree. Let's start a dialogue. Let's talk about this. But no, you'd rather just, you know, throw up some hate mail on my YouTube channel. And you know what? I'm grateful for it. Thank you for commenting, Stuart Elmore. This one is from Nayeli Escobar. Now, Nayeli doesn't have a profile picture and doesn't have a job because this thing is so long. Like, how long did it take you to type this out, and why do you care so much? I found out there's a couple of subjects that I stumble into that I'm, you know, passionate about that I want to share my opinion on because that's what this show is about. It's about sharing our opinions about things that we're passionate about. So when I do that, sometimes I don't know how it's going to trigger or hit other people. And I shared about 5 or 6 months ago after watching the Homecoming documentary that I think Beyonce may be the greatest performer of all time. And of course, when you say that, that automatically implies that someone else isn't. Someone else being Michael Jackson a lot of times. And so this is what Nayeli Escobar had to say. And I'm going to try to read this to the best of my ability. I'm going to just assume Nayeli is a woman. Nayeli Escobar is a woman. Talking about how Beyonce gave birth to children and go back to work. Please, all women do that. Earth to you. That's my favorite one. Earth to you. All women do that. Earth to you. And guess what? Women in the real world don't have like 20 nannies watching over their kids. For example, service members that are female. I respect them more. I don't know, man. I don't know if Beyonce has 20 nannies. If she does, more power to her. I did see her holding and breastfeeding her own kids. Now, if she has 20 nannies, it's because she needs it. She's pretty busy. She's pretty busy. And this is not to knock other women who do. Listen, I have four kids. There's been several times where Michelle has had a kid and then gone back to work. And it's amazing when she does it. It's definitely amazing when Beyonce does it. You know, and I'm not knocking any other women. It's amazing when all women do it. But for Beyonce to come right back and be at the top of her game, be better than she was when she left, you got to admit, it's incredible. Beyonce chose her performances over her kids, period. Nobody obligated her to sacrifice her family to go perform. She chose that herself and wants a medal for it. She's not sacrificing her kids. She's going back to work. You don't sacrifice your kids and go back. And by the way, there's some people who don't feel comfortable with other people watching their kids, and so they don't go back to work. I get that too. Again, in my household, we did that. At a certain point, it didn't make sense for Michelle to keep taking our kids to see someone else so they can watch them while she worked, and that income was not really a big part of what we needed to accomplish and what we valued as a family. But I'm not knocking anybody for going back to work. You're not neglecting your kids or choosing your job over your kids. You're going to work to be able to provide for your kids. This where it really came into play why this person was so upset. I don't hate her, but I don't give into her bull. MJ is untouchable. He gave everything he had for his fans. Great humanitarian, always looking to help others. Beyonce is self-centered, and she needs like 100 dancers to make her performance more enticing. MJ was pure, raw talent. MJ was pure silicone. That's what MJ was. MJ was pure plastic. That's what he was. Anyway, that's the hate mail for the week. I hope you guys enjoy that just as much as I do. Listen, I always, always, always want you guys to engage with me. I love nothing more when it comes to creating content, when I post something and it resonates with you enough to comment on it. Now, would I prefer those comments to be positive? Absolutely. But if they're not, I'm okay with that too. I'm not ashamed to engage with people that call me names or say different things about me. Or if we just disagree, I'm okay with disagreeing. We can disagree. I give it to you in my own words. It's only right that I accept it from you in your own words. Now, with all the craziness that's going on, I may have forgot to mention, this is episode 50. That means that we've done 50 episodes of the In My Own Words podcast. Episodes ranging from 22 minutes all the way up to an hour and 40 minutes in some of my interviews. And you guys have watched every second. And I want to say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for supporting me on this effort, doing this podcast that, you know, was only all audio at first and then went to audio and kind of crappy video. And the video quality got a little bit better and the scenery changed and the set changed. And today we got green stuff here. I got my little mug here. You know, we've evolved to two camera angles and better audio and different things like that. And I just want to say thank you so much for just engaging with me and allowing me to figure it out on the fly. There are some people that have been listening since day one and have heard every second of all 50 episodes, and I appreciate that because I know at times it's been rough. At times you're probably listening to this saying, what is he talking about? You know, I moved the show from Sundays to Mondays and, you know, changed up the format a couple of different times just trying to figure it out. But I thank you, and as a way of thanking you, I want to share with you my top moments from the last 50 episodes. Check it out. That was another thing too about me getting hit in the face. I never saw his hands leave from where they were. Like, his hands was down at the side and I felt myself get hit two times, bam, bam. And when I looked again, his hands were still at his sides. To this day, I'm still not sure if he hit me or not. The only reason I know he hit me twice is because I felt it and everybody said, oh, he hit you in the face. And that was it. That was the end of the fight. I was mad. The work ethic of a crackhead is tremendous.
Making quesadillas for beats. Making quesadillas for beats. Making quesadillas for beats.
Hey, don't worry that. Another thing that women never say, you will never hear a woman tell a man you're right. Just think about it. When have you ever heard a woman look at a man and say, you know what? You're right. This is what women will say instead. You're not wrong. You heard it. Cringe worthy. You ever had that family member in your family that's just like seasoned? They're old. I'm just going to say it, right? I don't have to put no punch. I don't got no bosses here. They're old, right? A little past their prime, but they keep trying to do the things that are trending and that are hot and that are within the prime of the individuals who are kind of running things now. I'll give you an example. You ever see the old man with the young man jeans on? You ever see that? You ever see somebody that you could tell they didn't dress themselves, some younger version of them dressed themselves, or they saw something on the last video and they put that on because this is what the kids are wearing? Yeah, that is what the kids are wearing, but Grandpa, you're not a kid no more. Let the kids wear what the kids wear. You wear what you wear. And that's how I would describe this Lil' Kim album. Kanye West doesn't care about rap, people.
CeCe over there. So it was basically like snipers and, you know, they was just like, you know what I'm saying?
Gosh.
You know, they back there just hiding.
Yeah.
And I didn't see him initially till he was like, see right there? Like, oh, and they was basically had.
He might have saved your life.
Yeah. Yeah. So they definitely had the house surrounded.
Take it to a different, you ever get in an argument with a woman and she says something and you're like, ugh. Where did you even pull that from? Why do you have that in you to be able to say that to me and then still smile later? We're on our way to church now. You're leading a song. You're on the praise team. How could you say that to me and then go lead a song on the praise team?
Fun times, man. That was some of my favorite moments from the last 50 episodes. Can you believe it's been 50 episodes? Stay tuned. We're going to have more fun moments for the next 50 and the next 50 after that. And the 50 after that, who knows? We may hit 5,000 episodes. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. But I'm in for another 50 if you are. You guys keep supporting, keep watching. I'll keep coming back with the heat, with the fire. All right. It's in my own words. All right, I couldn't let you go without giving you a WOW award. Now, this week, the WOW award goes to a YouTuber who decided it was okay, especially in this time, in this climate, it was okay to kill for clout. Let me explain to you what I mean. I'm going to read this statement that I found by Jasmine Derive. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. J Station, real name, James Effier, has admitted he faked his now ex-girlfriend's Alexia Morano's death in order to gain more subscribers for the shared YouTube channel Dream Team. Now, I have to say this. I don't have a lot of YouTube subscribers. I'm thankful for everyone that I have, and I know that it could be difficult to try to build a following on YouTube. I will admit that. However, it is never acceptable to snipe someone for subscriptions. It is never okay to kill somebody for clicks. You don't fake someone's death so people get drawn to your content. There's a video, a YouTuber, and I wish I knew their name, that my kids watch, and my middle daughter especially, she's really into it. And on this episode, people get kidnapped and they get lost and we have to. And of course, by the end of the episode, they always find them. But here's the problem. It's essentially a TV show. It's the same as watching Sabrina the Teenage Witch or Clarissa Explains It All or whatever we used to watch when we were kids, right? It's the same stuff. I don't know why I pulled those two shows out, by the way. Very random references. But it's the same idea, except we knew when Clarissa was explaining it all, that it was fake. You know what I mean? Like, we knew that Sabrina the Teenage Witch, like, cats don't talk like that. Like, we knew it was fake. These YouTubers are not disclosing to the kids that are watching, the people that are watching, what's real and what's not real. And I know YouTube is trying to do some things to crack down on these instances. I don't even know what to call it, these happenings, to stop happening. But it's getting crazy. It says the YouTuber is known for his controversial stunts. And last year, he used the Ouija board in an attempt to contact the deceased rapper, Mac Miller. Now, if this ain't wildworthy, I don't know what it is. See, wildworthy is when you choose whackness over wisdom. It's when you know better, but somehow you still don't do better. You mean to tell me you don't know better than to try to play with people's emotions by using a Ouija board to contact any dead person, but especially a dead person that we all know and love, being Mac Miller? You should never play games like this. You should never, ever play games like this. This guy, JStation, has, you know, the Ouija board video in 4 hours had 300,000 views. Saying my last goodbye to my girlfriend, Alexia, RIP, had 1.2 million views in 3 days. My girlfriend, Alexia, died. Another video he did had 1 million views in 4 days. He has 5.5 million subscribers onto his YouTube channel. Let me ask you this. When it's all said and done, was it worth it? Absolutely not. What are you going to do now? Okay, you put up the video, you got 1 million views. Now what? You can't live forever off of the AdSense on that money, on those videos, on those views. You can't live forever on a legacy. What about the poor girl that you killed off? What does she do now? Does she live her life as if 6 million people didn't just watch these videos about her and she's supposed to act like she's not dead? That's not enough money for you to move and go to a tropical island and relax the way people think Tupac is doing. It's not enough money to even do that. So what is your long-term play? All I'm saying is this. You don't snipe for subscriptions. You don't kill for clout. You don't kill for clicks. You don't do it. Make content that surrounds your real life. Or if you're going to make fiction, let people know that it's fiction. Anyway, JStation, you deserve this WOW Award. More than anybody I've ever given a WOW Award to, you deserve it. All right, I never like to leave you guys without a tip of the week because I want to make sure that when you leave this podcast, you leave with something that was tangible, valuable, and worth your time, right? Above and beyond the entertainment and the jokes, I want to leave you with this. Take time to value and appreciate the time that you have with people. You're going to get mad. You're going to have things that come up where you're disappointed. Maybe you wish it wouldn't happen. But learn how to talk through those things to get through them and not ignore them. As humans, we have a really great tool and skill to be able to adapt to whatever our surroundings are, right? That's why when we lose someone that's close to us, it feels like it's going to kill us, but it doesn't actually, because we have the ability to adapt, and somehow we just keep putting one foot in front of the other and we keep going on about life. But as we go on about life, those little things that we sweep under the rug start to become big things under the rug. And eventually you trip over that rug because you can no longer walk around them and act like they don't exist. So never let something that on the grand scheme of things, so small, doesn't feel like that in the moment. In the moment, it feels like it's the biggest thing in the world. But don't let those things that may be so small, driven by your ego, driven by your pride, driven by your emotions, separate you from the ones that you love. Because one thing we do know, eventually, our number is going to be called. And when it's called, we have no other choice but to go. And it's not, oh, they should have made different plans. They should have went a different route. They should have blah, blah, blah. Man, when it's your time to go, it's time to go. And there's nothing or no one that can keep you here when it's time to go. And we don't know when that's going to be. And so we shouldn't waste time being mad at each other. It's okay to disagree. That's going to happen. That's a part of being life. But we could disagree without being disagreeable. And we can discuss things and have a difference of opinion, but not let that divide us. So hold on to the ones that are close to you, the ones that love you. And I have to say this the way that I like to end every show. To me, God is everything. And if you don't know him, you should get to know him. My name is Tony Sanders, and this has been another episode of In My Own Words. I'll see you guys next week. Peace.